The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We're back on Get Up, and before we start a new hour, Neek, you know what happened yesterday? Sister Jean threw out the first pitch at Wrigley Field. She is 103 years old.
Wow.
Right? Became legendary when Loyola made that run.
Yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that is – how old is Wrigley?
Wrigley Field is 5 years older than
Sister Jean. That's insane.
That's all. That's for her. Really remarkable. You go, sister.
Hopefully she can bless the Cubs with a little bit of that luck because they need it.
That would be nice. With that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We are live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and we are busy. Cindy, roll it for hour number two because it's time to get up with a battle for the ages. It's the past and the future of the NFL meeting to decide who owns the present in a huge game on Sunday. We'll talk about it, while at the same time, the presence of Dak looms large while the Cowboys keep on winning. Does the D in Big D stand for delightful? We're talking about it. And then, why one NFL star may be on his way to the greatest season the sport has ever seen. All that and a whole lot more as we get up with you. And on this morning, there's only one way to begin, and that is with the very serious concerns that go well beyond, of course, the sports world in the state of Florida. And our thoughts are with everybody who is impacted by Hurricane Ian. As far as the game between Kansas City and Tampa Bay is concerned, the Bucs have temporarily relocated their operations to Miami as the hurricane moves over Florida's west coast. On his Let's Go podcast, Tom Brady was talking about the impact this has on his team's preparation. Here's what he said.
They lost a tough one on the road, so they'll be hungry. They'll kind of have a normal week of prep. And, you know, look, I think when you are dealing with some of the things that we're going to have to deal with this week, there's built-in excuses that, you know, should never be excuses for anything. We got to approach the week with a championship attitude that no matter what we face and no matter who plays, we're going to have to go out there and find a way to win the game. So it's not going to be easy. It's a huge test.
So look, first and foremost, obviously the circumstances are so much more important than anything that might happen in a football game. And our thoughts are with everyone impacted in this circumstance. That said, like Chris Canty, you played in the league a long time. He used the word excuses. Some things are excuses. Other things are reasons.
Yeah.
Right. They're going through what they've been relocating and all the rest of that. So how will that impact their ability to win a football game?
Well, listen, NFL players are creatures of habit, and anytime you deviate from norms, it can have an adverse effect. But we have to look at what Tom Brady said yesterday as a leadership moment because he's trying to set a tone for the locker room and letting those guys know we're not going to use this as an excuse just because we're displaced. We still got work to do. We still got to focus on our game prep because we got a really good team that we're up against this Sunday in the Kansas City Chiefs. But to your point, Greeny, about it being reasons, NFL players are people, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they have families, and it's not just them that can potentially be displaced. You're talking about them having to make plans for their family to get out of harm's way. So, of course, that's going to take away from your mental capacity, your ability to focus on what you're trying to get done from a professional standpoint.
Yeah. Absolutely. I should have started here, actually, Kimberly, with my insider on just the information that we have as far as the game is concerned, the preparation, and everything else.
Well, even you're hearing Chris talk about creatures of habit. Like, the Bucs still don't know exactly where they're going to be playing on Sunday. As of right now, I checked in with them. They don't know. As of right now, the NFL says the site should be Tampa Bay, but it's Wednesday. We have a couple more days to see what the storm does in that area. The league is monitoring everything. They're checking in with local officials, watching the storm. There's talk that it could be played out in the Midwest because the Vikings are going to be in London, so Minnesota is a destination. But think about it. It's Wednesday, and this game is Sunday, and they could be back home, but right now they're in Miami prepping, like trying to make things as normal as possible, Greeny.
I think it could potentially hurt your week of preparation, but sometimes I think it could have the opposite effect. You move away from home, you're in this like college-like atmosphere where you're all together. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is focus on football. I understand you have to be concerned about getting your family out of harm's way. Once you get that done, you're locked in this location. Tom Brady's giving you a speech every morning about how there's no distractions. We're being tested as a team right now who's going to answer that test. Like, I don't necessarily think the Bucks are going to come out and show, like, a lackadaisical or lethargic performance. I think they're going to be focused and locked in. I don't think we see a lesser version of the Bucks this week.
As far as the team that they're playing this weekend is concerned, and we've got Brady on one side, we got Mahomes. That, you know, is the headline. Of course, it's as good a quarterback matchup as I suppose you could ask for. But you were there last week when Kansas City played in Indianapolis. That was an ugly day.
It was not a good game until the final minutes.
Were they exposed? Was there anything in that that you think carries over as a concern?
No, I'm not concerned, right? But here, back-to-back weeks, we've seen the Chiefs struggle in short yardage situations against the Chargers. They were on short rest. But still, the confidence that the Chiefs seemed to have in their explosive offense was not there. You saw Andy Reid calling the fake punt. Like, we saw all these special teams gaffes, and the Chiefs beat themselves. So that's why I'm not concerned long-term about the Chiefs. But it's still 2 weeks in a row after they came out and completely dismantled the Cardinals. Back-to-back weeks, they haven't looked like themselves.
This is the one moment, and Rex made this point on TV with us the other day, that in a game like that, that's where you miss Tyreek Hill. Yeah. Because when everything else is going wrong, and your other guy's dropping passes, and we fake the punt, maybe you don't even do that. Because Tyreek Hill is going to catch a four-yard pass and turn it into a 70-yard touchdown, and that's the thing they don't have.
Well, yeah, I could make the case that they miss Harrison Butker a lot more than they miss Tyreek Hill in that game on Sunday, because you had the missed field goal by Matt Anamandola at gimme range, and then you faked the field goal because you didn't have any confidence with your kicker early in the fourth quarter. But the miscues that we saw from Kansas City, the muff punt by Sky Moore, that ain't got nothing to do with Tyreek Hill. The drop touchdown pass in the fourth quarter by Travis Kelce, that ain't got nothing to do with Tyreek Hill. The unsportsmanlike conduct by Chris Jones ain't got nothing to do with Tyreek Hill. All of these miscues lead to me looking at that Chiefs performance against the Colts and their mentality that they're going to roll their helmet out there and get a win. I don't think they're going to roll into this game.
I agree with you. It's like the special teams is the big issue. Maybe none of that has anything to do with Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek Hill erases all of that.
That's what I mean.
Catch. And it's nice to have that guy. He's not coming back. They're not good. There's like five or six of those type of guys in the league. The Chiefs had one. And, yeah, it's going to take some time to figure out how to fill in that hole. You just have to understand.
Tyreek Hill is the reason you win a game when you play badly. Right. Yeah. This past week, they lost a game when they played badly. Let's talk about another team that's winning all of a sudden. The Dallas Cowboys. The D in Big D stands for delightful right now. They're 2-0 under their backup quarterback, Cooper Rush. And right now they're awaiting the return of Dak Prescott from thumb surgery. But Jerry Jones has nothing but high praise for his backup. Listen.
Well, let me say this. He's certainly playing as well as anybody could have expected. Has got the makeup for a top quarterback, and I underline the word makeup for a top quarterback. For Dak, as far as his ability to potentially function in a couple of weeks or a week or 10 days or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I don't think you could ask for a better result. The type of injury it is, he'll be able to play within a week or two. I think his progress is nothing short of amazing.
All right, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here? Selling water to a well. That man is a television preacher. He's going to every time he get a chance, he's going to sell you something. And the Cowboys seem like they are buying it. Yep. 2 weeks ago, he told us that they were fine. They were going to win games. And I was like, pshaw. But apparently, it worked. They believed it. They're a good team. They're great on defense. And Cooper Rush is stepping up. Mm-hmm. All this makeup of a great quarterback, he's being funny with his words. But I think Cooper Rush is good enough. They ask him to make two or three, maybe four good throws a game, and the defense plays really well. Yeah. Yes, he can do that.
Do you know what has happened here? And it happens so seldom. I was right.
So right.
That's what happened.
So right.
Super genius.
Kmart.
Yes.
They're good. That's the point. We made it seem like when Dak got hurt, like, man, this roster stinks. They're terrible. They're going to get the first pick in the draft. And what we're learning is that they can run block. They can run the football. The defense is not just Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The defense is actually excellent. Mm-hmm. They're a good team. And when they get Dak back, this is a dangerous team.
They needed to show that, though. They needed to show that because when the season started, they didn't look like they do now. That is a internally understanding that we don't have the guy that we know is great. So we've got to figure out how to compensate for his absence. Now, the whole makeup thing, This is the best I'm going to look all week, right? But Cooper Rush, he's giving makeup at the Seaport vibes. That's great. That's great. But when you see me on the street, I will not look like this. And at some point, he will not look like this. But for right now, he's doing enough, especially late in games, and that's what they need.
Let me make a case to you, Chris Canty, sometimes what you think is the worst thing that could possibly happen to you winds up being the best thing that could possibly happen to you. And it was Nick who actually said this to me yesterday, that By being forced to run the football and lean on their defense and all the things you don't do when you have an elite quarterback, which Dak Prescott is, and their offensive coordinator being forced to call the game that way, that it has actually been the reason they've won these two games, and that is going to remain, or should remain, the formula even when you get the quarterback back.
No doubt. Nick is spot on with this. Every team comes into the season with an idea of who they think they're going to be, and then once you get past the first quarter of the season, you realize who you have to be in order to give yourself a chance to be competitive. And I think the Dallas Cowboys are realizing, with the exodus that they had on talent on the offensive side of the ball, they got to change up how they do things. It's not about trying to get the return on investment on paying Dak $40 million a year. It's about trying to win games and then ultimately your quarterback being the difference in those games with a handful of throws. If you look at what they did from a personnel standpoint in the first game, 70% of the time they lined up in three wide receiver sets. Since then, 44% of the time, the Dallas Cowboys have come out with multiple tight ends on the field, and they've run the football. They had perfect balance, 31 passes, 30 rush attempts on Monday night against the New York Giants. That's what it needs to be when Dak Prescott comes back. Cooper Rush just showed you that your offense can be efficient and can be productive if you use this formula instead of trying to throw the ball all over the yard.
And one of the tight ends was hurt this week, and Michael Gallup is going to come back. Yeah. They're going to get better. I mean, and they're getting their quarterback. The Cowboys are going to be heard from.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive what they've done so far. I didn't have high expectations for them, but we also need to take into account this kind of bucks against the narrative right now is the first, and sorry for the word pun, but their first game was against the Bucks.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason why they struggled. It wasn't all on Kellen Moore trying to be the next boy genius offensive coordinator or them putting too much pressure on Dak, which I do think is part of it. Part of it was they're going to get the best defense in football, and we didn't know how good that defense was yet, but now we know that nobody can really move the ball efficiently or effectively on the Bucks.
No, that's a fair point, but here's the thing. When I say run the football, sometimes it's not necessarily about the yards. It's about the attempts to set up opportunities and play action, and that's the thing that they need to focus on in terms of getting explosive plays in the passing game. It's not going to look like it did last year when you had Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb all healthy, and I think that's the mentality that Kellen Moore has to come into game plans with, even when he gets Dak back.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that, but it's running the ball for the sake of running the ball. I understand the logic behind that, and it doesn't matter until it's time to punt.
I will say this. They looked a lot better running the ball when Jason Peters stepped in at left guard.
Yeah.
Looked a lot better. I'm just saying, the left guard situation, Jason Peters, old man Peters, can still play
some
football.
So the moral of this segment, Greeny, genius.
I mean, it's amazing how flexible he is, the way he can pat himself on the back.
Wow.
Like that. It's amazing. It's,
listen. I recognize it. I see it.
No argument here whatsoever. We roll on in just a moment. Oh, there you are. We roll on in just a moment. Tua and the Dolphins are 3-0. The Vegas odds makers, however, are not buying in. What does the crew here think? We'll talk about it coming up next. Plus, when Lamar Jackson faces Josh Allen Sunday, it's a battle of two of the best MVP candidates this season. We'll tell you why one needs to outplay the other by a lot to win. That's next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, we're back on Get Up. Kimberly Martin, let's run the hurry up. What is the latest with Myles Garrett?
Greeny, good news that Myles Garrett is A, first off, okay, but his status for Sunday's game against the Cardinals still up in the air. Andrew Berry, the GM, released a statement that Garrett sustained strained bicep, bumps and bruises, no broken bones in that single car crash on Monday. But he doesn't have a concussion, but team doctors still need to clear him before there's any chance of him playing on Sunday in Atlanta. This breaks my heart for Sterling Shepard. The Giants wide receiver, he's just running, tore his ACL, and he came off an injury last year. The reason this is sad is because he restructured his deal, came back. He's the longest tenured Giant on this roster, and it doesn't seem like it's looking good that he might be back next year. So this is a really bad end to his season and potentially his Giants tenure. Lastly, though, we have potentially good news with Tua. So he does have a back and ankle injury. That's how he showed up on the injury report. Mike McDaniel, the head coach, seemed encouraged that Tua was calling him late night, 10 o'clock at night, just to check in. He said his QB seemed like himself despite all that wobbly wobbly in the game. Tua came back after that and threw a touchdown. Team said it's not a head injury, back ankle. Tua seemed optimistic. Right now, he is questionable for that Thursday night game against the Bengals.
And for the record, I mean, the Dolphins, who have beaten three good teams, certainly at least two good teams in the Ravens and the Bills in the AFC, and are unbeaten, they're the last unbeaten in the conference, are underdogs in this game. Yep. They're a four-point dog, as you see in Cincinnati, as we kick off the weekend tomorrow, and these two quarterbacks go head-to-head. Of course, they know each other from their days in the SEC at Alabama and LSU. So a fascinating game in a variety of ways. Just to reset the table here, for those of you who are just joining us, earlier this morning, we got into what I would describe as a passionate debate.
I was Patrick Mahomes and he was Eric Bieniemy, and I was very frustrated with his side of things. But I'll let you, it's your show.
It was a little more like you were Tom Brady and he was the iPad.
Tablet? And he was the Microsoft.
Wow.
Whatever it was. Wow. So here's the question. Here's the question. What is it you need to see from Tua Tagovailoa that will make you say, because again, he this is a kid who came into the league. He's had a lot of things working against him in Miami, in fairness to him. And he's been really good through these first 3 weeks. Came back off the bench after the bad injury last week and led his team to a huge win at home. You still have questions. What do you need to see from Tua that will provide those answers?
I just need them to keep winning. And I need Tua to keep being a big part of that. Continue to be able to sustain drives. They're one of the best teams on third downs. They're one of the best teams in the red zone. That was the difference in that week three matchup that they had against the Buffalo Bills. They were 3-for-3 when they got into the red area. The Buffalo Bills were 2-for-4. And so I need to see Tua continue to do that, continue to be efficient, continue to deliver the football with accuracy. Most importantly, protect the football and protect himself by being able to stay healthy and stay available.
So the question on Tua coming into the season was, can he demonstrate to the Dolphins that he should be their quarterback going forward into the future? Because they have a very attractive roster for whoever the next disgruntled quarterback in the NFL might be that wants a new team. As far as you're concerned, has he already answered that?
He certainly answered that to me. I think some people are moving the goalposts on Tua. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, the question before was like, is he good enough to be this team's starting quarterback? If you watch these first 3 weeks, and maybe you could say he got lucky, this is 4th and 7 before halftime. He hits this perfect in stride. This looks like a big play by Waddle, which it is, but it's only possible because of the accuracy of this. This is a game-winning touchdown. Mm-hmm. Buy time, move left, throw it high over the linebacker, hit Waddle for a game take or a game. Taking touchdown. This right here, 3rd and 22. Let's get ready to punt. Nah, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm a split cover 2 right down the middle. Use my eyes to separate the safeties. These are difficult throws. If you're asking him to make these throws 10, 12 times a game, no, that's not who Tua is going to be. But if he can consistently give you that, then this is a championship level team and Tua is their franchise quarterback.
So, Kmart, what do you think is the right way to frame what Tua is right this minute? What we've seen from him, what we are seeing, what's going on with him and the Dolphins?
He's the quarterback of a 3-0 team, the only 3-0 team in the AFC.
Yeah.
I feel like it's really that simple. To Dominique's point, we weren't sure if he could even handle that.
Yeah.
That's what we needed to see. The kid has done that and more. I see you making a face, but that's literally this. When you need big plays, he is able to deliver. The goalpost situation, this is what is so frustrating, because saying we need to see more. Well, hell, we need to see more from everybody. We need to see more from Patrick Mahomes. We need to see more from every single quarterback. I think
we need to see more from Pat Mahomes.
There was always some question about offenses right now. Yeah. There are questions about everybody. But with Tua, we weren't sure if he could handle being a starting quarterback. We know that. We have the answer. He is a very good quarterback. The question of can he sustain it? Sure. Yes. But so can Jalen Hurts sustain it?
We have such a small sample size with Tua, though. We're talking about three games. Yes, they're the only three games that they played this season, but that's it.
But I mean, I think we
need to see that bear itself out over an entire regular season before we say definitively that the Dolphins have their franchise quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
They don't have to sign him to a contract today, but you combine his pedigree and his talent with the dysfunction that the organization had in the previous years. You combine that with how he's playing now. I think the conclusion that we can come to is Tua in a good situation is the right quarterback for that team. I think if you want to wait until the end of the season, go ahead and say it. But I thought part of what we're supposed to do is be able to look at a small sample size and make projections about what's going on. Anybody can wait till he wins a Super Bowl and be like, you know what? That quarterback, not too shabby.
I've seen him 2 years not be able to stay healthy for a full season.
They had an offensive line that was the worst in the NFL history.
Can I finish saying that? Can I finish talking? Because y'all two are trying to jump me right now.
This is WWE
and it's
sense.
A tag
That's
team and it's just one man in the ring. All I'm simply saying is this. Tua came into the league the same year that Jalen Hurts came into the league in a dysfunctional situation in Philadelphia, and guess what? We don't have any questions about Jalen Hurts because we saw him take a team to the playoffs last year, and we're seeing the evolution of the quarterback now. We know he can stay healthy for a full year. All I'm simply saying is let's see a full season of Tua with Mike McDaniel before we anoint him. As Bill Parcells used to say, let's not put him in Canton just yet. It's three games. I'm not saying that he's not a good quarterback. I just want to see if he can sustain this level of play for the rest of the season. That's it.
I mean, you said a lot, and you said it loud.
And you said it loud.
However, one of the things that you said was we didn't have any questions about Jalen Hurts.
That's when I stopped listening. That's when I tuned out.
I'm saying we don't have any questions about Jalen Hurts
now. But we had questions coming into the season. Right. Can he
but,
be
but
the
context
guy?
Matters, Kimberly. In context
them.
Of
here's
putting
the final
him
thought.
In the playoffs.
Here's the final
last
thought.
Year
praise
and what
both
we're
of
seeing
these
this
guys.
Year.
Praise them both because how they are playing deserves praise. Like, I don't understand why we need to nitpick right now.
I'm not nitpicking.
You are,
I said
bro.
He's a good
you
football
are.
Player. Where's the nitpicking?
He's a franchise quarterback.
That's
all. Like,
that's
he's a first-round draft pick who's making
that's
important
it.
Plays in important situations. I think part of the problem is the bar has been moved, and now everyone believes that they need to find a Justin Herbert or a Patrick Mahomes.
Well, they passed on Justin Herbert to take Tua. So
right,
it's hard
so
not to
far,
view Tua through that lens
no,
sometimes.
No,
it's
watch
true.
Him for what he's doing. Watch him for what he's doing on the field, because what he's doing is impressive. Y'all understand I'm making sense, right?
Okay. Can I just say something? This show rules. I'm having the best time just watching, and I would just like it to continue, and it will, in just a moment. We're going to talk about another quarterback and see if we can get yelling at each other. This one is Lamar Jackson. He has his work cut out for him against the Bills this Sunday. What heroics will be required from him to pull off the upset? Kimberly has the game. We're talking about it next. And let's see how Neek does here with Sneaky Hembo. Which NFL team, Dominique, has spent the most time playing with the lead this season through week three? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Interesting.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, approaching the bottom of the hour, and here is the question. Which team, through 3 games this season, has spent the most time playing with the lead?
All right, it's a tough question. I know it can't be an undefeated team because Himbo has to be a little sneaky, so I'm going to go with the Ravens because they pretty much dominated that game until the fourth quarter against the Dolphins, and they won their other 2 games.
That is correct.
Give it to me.
It is the Ravens. The Eagles are next. The 49ers are actually after that. The Lions, who are 1-2, have played 100. It's been a strange season. We mentioned there are some teams that haven't played with the lead at all this year. The Ravens have played more minutes with the lead than any team. Of course, they gave away their game week 2 against the Dolphins. They've got a heck of a game this week against Buffalo, and Kmart will be there for the Bills and Ravens, a game that will pit together two of the top contenders for MVP. According to Caesars, Josh Allen is currently the favorite. Lamar Jackson is tied with Jalen Hurts for the 3rd best odds. Patrick Mahomes is ahead of them in this spot. And look, we spent yesterday talking a lot about Lamar Jackson and whether people are fully appreciating the season that he's having right now and the fact that he's 3rd in the MVP voting, considering he might literally rewrite the record book this season, is remarkable. But let's just start with the game. This is your game. I know you're starting to put together everything. What do the fans need to know about this game in Baltimore Sunday?
How are the Bills going to respond? I think that was a game against the Dolphins where they cost themselves that game. There was a lot of un-Bills-like plays, like the Josh Allen, like, short throw, like all these plays that you thought, this is a Bills team that came out beating the brakes off everybody. Can they do it against Lamar? And this Ravens defense, I don't know if they can.
Well, Lamar's going up against a great defense in the Buffalo Bills.
That has some injuries in the secondary.
With the injury.
So
take it. Give it to me here, Canty. What do we see in this matchup between these two superstar quarterbacks?
Well, I think Lamar Jackson can take advantage of the Bills secondary, and I know a lot of quarterbacks haven't been able to do that. But when you look at Jaquan Johnson and Damar Hamlin being the safeties as opposed to Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, there creates that void in the middle of that defense, especially deep in the middle of the field. And you saw Tua take advantage of that last week on that 3rd and 22 when he threw a 45-yard completion to Jalen Waddle. Those were the 2 guys that were in coverage. So I think Lamar Jackson can take advantage of this Bills defense by winning from the well. And if you watch what Lamar Jackson did the last 2 weeks from the pocket, he has been absolutely surgical. 70% completion percentage, 7 touchdowns to 1 interception. The guy is a monster right now. He's answering all the questions about can he win from the pocket. And I think that's how he takes advantage of this Bills defense.
For him to do it, the Bills pass rush is really impressive. For him to do it, they're going to have to find out an answer for the left tackle because they've had so many injuries at that spot. They're down to 3rd and at certain times in the game, 4th string left tackle in this previous game. So Lamar can dominate from in the pocket if there is a pocket to dominate from. So that's the big question. How are they going to protect Lamar?
Dom, I will say this. I was at that game calling it on the radio. They figured it out. After a quarter and a half, he figured it out. Patrick McCary went out and Daniel Faalele came in and Dietrich Wise went to work. He had 3 sacks in the first half. But guess what? After Lamar had that interception, they figured out exactly what they needed to do with that passing attack. And I think that shows the evolution of the player being able to diagnose the defense, recognize the weaknesses, and get the ball to the one-on-one matchup.
Von Miller wasn't at that game, though.
Fair enough.
That's all. There's a different defensive line.
Here's the other thing with the Bills, though. They can put up points in a hurry, but they have a hard time closing out games. When it's a one-score game, when it's a close game, for some reason, they just have a hard time closing out.
They ain't won 2 years in a one-score game.
Exactly, and that's what I'm looking for this year because you look at the QB matchup, this is what you want. When you talk to defensive guys, they talk about Josh Allen. He plays similar to Lamar, except he plays like a running back. He is not looking to shy away from contact. He's looking to run you over.
He gets hit too much. It's another way of saying that. So, but the very first question was on the screen. I should have asked it because it really is the best question. Right now, you have to put your money on one of these two guys to be the MVP. Not who is the MVP this minute. I think that's obviously Lamar. But over the course of 17 games, which one do you think is likelier to be the MVP of the league this year, Allen or Jackson?
I think I'm rolling with Lamar Jackson. And I know a lot of people came in saying Josh Allen is the MVP, but just seeing how he's grown as a passer, Greeny, that was only the only real question that we had about Lamar. And now he's got a true number one receiver in Rashad Bateman. Devin Duvernay is a nice number two who also doubles as a special teams dynamo. And then you got Mark Andrews, who's in the conversation for the best tight end in the National Football League. I get the offensive line concerns, but Lamar Jackson in this offense,
it's
the best showing on the NFL.
I think I got to go with Lamar Jackson, too, because as good a runner as Josh Allen is, he's not Lamar Jackson.
No.
And that dynamic to Lamar's game is going to give him more value to his team than Josh has, and more exciting kind of eye-popping plays. He's going to have a big year, and I think he could get the MVP, his second MVP.
Mm-hmm. Because the numbers right now look even better. I'm going to say Lamar because every time he steps on the field, you know that you can't really stop him. Yes, you can contain him at stretches, but he is just he's just different. And he challenges the, well, actually crowd. The crowd that says, I don't know. The Chris Canty's of the world that want to tell you, I don't know. Like this guy, what he's doing is impressive. I'm just messing with you. I know you love Lamar. I think it's going to be Lamar.
Yeah, right. Look, this to me, it's as interesting a game. There's some good games this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, again, the Chiefs and the Bucks. We hope that everything is all right, depending on the where the game is played. And then this one, another fascinating quarterback matchup. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we got the Giants playing the Bears. Now, these teams are a combined 4-2. But, boy, it doesn't feel that way, right? Daniel Jones was sacked 5 times Monday night, and the Giants lost to the Cowboys. Jones and the Giants now squaring off against Justin Fields and the Bears. Jones was pressured 24 times Monday night. That's the most by a quarterback in a game this season. And only one quarterback has been pressured at a higher rate this season, and that would be the guy he'll be watching on the other side of the field. That would be Justin Fields. And here's, look, I sort of tiptoed around, well, not tiptoed. I suggested this yesterday, and I'm going to say it again. I have no idea if Daniel Jones was originally destined to be a great quarterback, but the Giants are going to move on from him, and I would posit that no one, however good they were, could have succeeded in the circumstances he's been in since he got there. And I am afraid, for all my friends in Chicago, that as he looks across the field, he's seeing the same exact thing on the other side, and that more young quarterbacks in the NFL are ruined than developed. They've done that to Daniel Jones in New York, and I think there's reason to be concerned that a similar situation is going to happen with Fields in Chicago.
No, that's a legitimate concern. The one thing I will say is what I saw from the Chicago Bears and their approach offensively against the Texans, that's the way they need to go to protect Justin Fields. They need to run the football. They racked up 281 yards rushing against the Texans. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to do that against the Giants. We'll have to wait and see about the health of Leonard Williams, who's a key cog in the interior of that Giants defensive line. But if they continue to run the football and then use Justin Fields sporadically in the passing game, moving the pocket, getting him out on the perimeter, and allowing him to have half-field reads, I think that's the formula to protect him and to try to get him to survive this year. I don't know how much development is going to happen this year because of the talent around him, but it's just about Justin Fields surviving this year and getting to an offseason where they have more resources to put more talent around him.
I think you're right. That's a horrible sentence, right? Yeah. Here we are. This is his second season, and there's not going to be any development. We're cutting it. We're just passing sporadically. This is pro football in the year 2022.
17 passes.
I know. He completed 8 of them. He got sacked 5 times. He got picked off twice, and they won.
These situations are similar. It's not fair to the coaching staff that's there. It's not fair to the new GM. It's not fair to the player. It's not fair to the fans. But this is the situation that they're in. Life is not fair sometimes. You need to figure out how to do what's best for the organization and what's best for the player in both these situations. And for Jones, it's going to be somewhere else. He's going to have to find a new location, and hopefully that location is prepared to use whatever skills he does have. The same thing may be true for Justin Fields, but we aren't there yet. Maybe they'll figure something out for him sooner But you're right. I liked the Giants as a team that could really improve this year because I thought they had good tackles and improve off the line, and because I think Daniel Jones shows glimpses of being a good quarterback. And if you can protect him, he might be able to do something more consistently. Whoa. But you can't drop him in a situation like this and expect him to correct for all the issues, all the mistakes that have been made in that organization.
Kimberly, that is the hardest eye roll.
I don't know. That's the see, this is the problem with the Daniel Jones thing. As you know, Greeny, I've covered a lot of bad football. I covered the Jets for a long time. I know organizations that have not put their quarterbacks in the best situation, and they end up suffering. This is why I didn't want Justin Fields to start right away, because I knew that roster was not – that line couldn't protect him. That roster wasn't strong enough. And when you have a rookie thrown in there, yes, he has the tools. He can escape the pocket. But sometimes you don't want your QB under duress all the time. But Justin Fields still makes plays where you're like, okay, I see it. I see it. Even though the situation is dire, even though he's getting knocked around. Daniel Jones, how many years has he been in New York?
This is his fifth.
Thank you. When you say glimpses, not enough. I'm sorry. And that it is not fair. It is not fair of the situation. The offensive line, Giants always address the offensive line and still have offensive line issues. I don't know how it's possible. But there have not been enough flashes to say Daniel Jones deserved to save
New York. It's hard to have flashes when you're pressured 24 times in a game. But it's also hard to have flashes when you have a receiver room that's not as productive as the Giants receiver room, yet their receiver room is taking up the highest percentage of the salary cap of any receiver room in the National Football League.
Daniel Jones is not the only quarterback in the National Football League.
I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he is, but Kenny Golladay is getting $21 million this year, and Kenny Golladay had as many catches as me on Monday night.
The point is, the quarterbacks who have that to deal with are also quarterbacks that fail. And like to Greeny's point, more first-round picks are failed than fail themselves. And I think that if you look at we've talked about this before. All the greatest quarterbacks in the league right now came into good situations. Mm-hmm. And those good situations, even though they weren't all great on day one, allowed them the time to develop. And I'm not saying Daniel Jones is that guy, but I'm saying we can't find out.
This is why when you say Justin Fields should start day one, this is the problem, because you end up here talking about how he's been failed.
You're right. And
genius.
For Jones, it's his fourth year. I apologize, not his fifth. They didn't pick up his fifth year option. And I think the chances that he winds up having a fifth year with the Giants feel somewhat slim. We'll see. These teams are 2-1, and they play each other on Sunday. Meanwhile, they're all looking up at the Eagles. They have a sneaky tough test Sunday against an improved Jacksonville team. If they get past them, when will Philly lose a game? We're talking about it next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and it is the game that is sweeping the nation. It's called Can He or Can't He? Let's go, Chris. Let's start with this one in Pittsburgh. Can Mitch Trubisky be the Steelers starter for the entire season? Can he or can't he?
He can't, G, with a capital T. Listen, there's only two teams that have fewer first downs in the NFL than the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Mitch Trubisky is good for 22nd in total QBR. At some point, if you're losing games, you got to see if you can transition and go to another guy that can help you win. They got the Jets rolling in the town. round in week four. The Jets have only won once in Pittsburgh since 1970. They lose this game, it's Kenny Pickett time.
Next, Trevor Lawrence. Can he lead the Jaguars to the playoffs? Can he or can't he?
He can, because nobody in the AFC South scares you. And here's the deal. You're talking about a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. That running game, top 10 in the National Football League. They're also number one in stopping the run, and their defensive front can get after it with the best of them. Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker, and company. They got a lot of skill position weapons for Trevor Lawrence to work with. And finally, they have an adult in the room at the head coaching spot in Doug Peterson.
Wow. And then one more. Can Jalen Hurts win MVP this year? Can he or can't he?
He can, G. Now, he's going to have some tough competition with Lamar Jackson, but Jalen Hurts, there's a reason why he's fourth best when it comes to the MVP odds. So look at the supporting cast around him. Maybe the most complete roster top to bottom in the National Football League, and he's playing in the NFC East. I think they're going to run away with this division.
So earlier in this hour and all through the morning, one of the themes, and I believe that Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts, not only were they college teammates, of course, and forever somewhat inextricably linked because of what happened in the championship game, but they were in similar situations because they were quarterbacks that we weren't certain about on teams that looked like they'd be really good. We are not sold, in your case, on Tua. Are we totally sold on Jalen Hurts?
Absolutely. I am. There was one question of Jalen Hurts coming in this season. Can he perform in the pocket, and can he attack zone defenses, which I guess is two questions.
Yeah.
He did both of those. And through the course of this game, through the course of the three games so far, he's done both those things really impressively. And there really seems like, I'm sure there are some weaknesses in his game, but the way he's playing right now, there aren't any. His ability to run, and then we have what Chris was talking about, his leadership ability, all that intangible stuff that you can't measure. He is number one when it comes to that. Mm-hmm.
They've beaten the Lions. They've beaten the Vikings. Mm-hmm. They've beaten the Commanders. It's not exactly murderer's row. Mm-hmm. The rest of the schedule actually, and I pointed this out before the season, their first nine games, they figure to maybe be 7-2. Are you completely sold on Jalen Hurts?
Oh, I'm 100% sold on Jalen Hurts. I was sold on Jalen Hurts in the pre-draft process, to Chris's point, about the intangibles. Like, he's a guy that you want, as a player, you want to follow. When you're on the field, you believe you have a chance to win, and you don't always feel that way about your quarterback. That Monday night game when the Eagles played, it was a doubleheader, Bills were playing also. I was sitting with a defensive player watching that game, and he said about Jalen, like, that dude has an undeniable will to win. And it seemed like a small thing, but when you look at him, he had questions to answer, and he has answered those questions. And the Eagles, credit to them for loading up this roster. Jalen is taking advantage of the weapons he has, but he's done the work in the offseason to improve his game.
Are they the best team in the NFC?
They're the best team in the NFL right now. Not just the NFC, in the NFL. Look at it. Tell me the weakness for the Philadelphia Eagles. They have the best offensive line in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. Their defensive line just had 9 sacks in one game against Carson Wentz. 9. Mm. Their skill position players, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, Quez Watkins. I mean, they got a running game. They were the top running game in the National Football League last year.
And I think
there's no weakness to the Philadelphia Eagles right now.
The hardest position to fill in this league outside of quarterback is cornerback. Mm-hmm. And they have two number one corners.
Yes, sir.
And Bradberry and Slay. So to your point, there are really no weaknesses. The one weakness on this roster we thought was the quarterback spot. Mm-hmm. Could he pass the ball well enough when they're down and in the pocket? And he's answered that.
You know what else they have? They have a darn good coach.
Yeah.
And that guy, Nick Sirianni, he came in there.
He came a long way from that press conference, didn't he?
Ooh. It goes to show you, winning the press conference, which a lot of teams are very concerned about, in the end, not all that important. You know what's important? He didn't look at Jalen Hurts and see what he wasn't.
Right.
He looked at Jalen Hurts and saw what he was. And in the middle of a season, he completely redefined their offense last year to fit Hurts' skill set. And now Hurts has added layers to that. They add another weapon. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they are the best team in the entire NFC. You're not buying.
No. So here's where the question of who's a better team versus these power rankings, because I feel like power rankings, they move week to week, right? So the Dolphins jump ahead of the Bills because they just beat them. I don't know. Do we still think that the Bills have dropped from the number one team in the NFL? Do you think that the Dolphins being 3-0, the competition in the AFC that they've beaten, shouldn't you?
More importantly, though, because they don't have to worry about the Dolphins and the Bills. They have to worry about Tampa when they get healthy. They have to worry about Green Bay and whatever they're going to ultimately be. Maybe Dallas in their rearview mirror, the Rams out west. Are they better than those teams?
Right now?
No, not right now. Are they going
right
to be that?
All oh, are they going
are
to
they
be that?
The best team?
I don't know. I still
I think
have
so.
I, because no. Because here's the thing: when you say with Tua, I still have to see more.
Yeah.
Like we've seen the proven track record of Tom Brady and the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
That's where I think I don't know if the Eagles will be there at the end. I think they definitely can be, but this is a small sample size, Chris. So I don't know.
Oh, no.
I still have to see more.
Oh, she air quoted you too.
Yeah,
ooh.
This has gotten. There's something in the air. Let's just put it that way.
But taking the heat off you.
Look, Mark and Spears notice the big swagoo. They're fighting on Get Up this morning. And we are all friendly. Everyone's having a good time. But yes, we have some healthy disagreement on the program this morning, and I, for one, am here for it. In the meantime, we got college football coming your way on ESPN Plus this weekend. You see some of the games that include Texas Tech and Kansas State, a good one. We got Syracuse and Wagner. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. First Take follows us here. We don't know where the game will be played this week, but we do know Brady versus Mahomes is huge. Which legend needs a win more? Stephen A., Molly, Mad Dog, and others debate that and more. First Take, top of the hour on ESPN. All right, we got Fight Night coming up Saturday from the Apex in Vegas, our women's strawweight main event. 12-2 Mackenzie Dern squaring off against 13-3 Yan Xiaonan. The prelim start at 4 Eastern, followed by the main card 7 Eastern on ESPN+. To get, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. And in the moments that we have before we make way for First Take, we've talked a lot about Tua this morning and the Dolphins and their 3-0 and just how much are people buying into it. They're in a tough spot tomorrow night taking on Cincinnati on the road on a short week. Tell everybody why that game may not be a true litmus test of just how good they are.
Yeah, I think this is where the schedule might catch up with the Miami Dolphins. We got to keep this in mind. In week 3, that defense played 90 snaps in 90-degree heat and were on the field for over 40 minutes. Now, I got this little stat from Hembo. No defense has played more snaps in a non-overtime game than the Miami Dolphins defense. So that could be a challenge going up against a top 10 scoring offense in the Cincinnati Bengals that looks like they're finally hitting their stride after week 3.
But the Dolphins are going to win anyway because Tua's that good.
Right, Chris?
Right? Come on,
right, Chris?
Come on, join us on Tua 9.
I'm not with Tua 9 just yet. He's a good quarterback. And you know what he showed me? He showed me toughness by staying in that game after taking that hit in the first half from Matt
Milano. That sounds like leadership. That sounds like a guy that his team can rally around.
I've never seen that from Tua before. I'm hoping that he can continue with that throughout the entirety of the season. But they ain't going to win on Thursday night.
Don't be mad at me because I'm telling you the truth.
We're leading him to the water,
yeah,
guys.
We're trying. Aren't you
drink
thirsty?
The water.
The man is out here throwing touchdowns.
Man, y'all got that Jackson, Mississippi water. I don't want that right now.
Tua is much better than that.
What should we say? What is the right way to frame Tua at this moment? Because there were so many questions about him coming into this season. And so far, it's been so good. And again, sometimes the worst moments seem like the best moment. He gets knocked down the way he did. It looked like he was going to be the toughness of him coming back.
And
it turns out to be a good
game.
Moment.
Yeah.
What is the right way to frame it?
He has answered the questions that we had coming into the season, and then some. Just keep it going.
I think nothing. It's this football culture that we have. You're part of it, where you play a game and you win. You can't even celebrate it for a second. We're not in the locker room. It's okay for us to celebrate. Tua's been awesome week to week. We don't have to keep saying, "Show me again, show me again." He will show us again. Let's take time.
I want to see it again.
All summer saying, "I don't know if we can do it." All I'm asking you is to spend the last 30 seconds of this show saying, "He did it. You good?" To it, just give him that.
I said he's good.
Okay, we're good.
No more. Okay.
There we go. We're done.
No conditional compliments.
I tell you what, he's got a good coach too. I think there's reason to be excited about what they've got going on in Miami. And again, tomorrow may not be a perfect litmus test of how good they are, but should they win that game, that will really be something. Again, to all our friends in the Tampa area, we are thinking of you. Be safe, be healthy, and we will be back tomorrow morning. Thanks for getting up. First Take starts now.